الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم، صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Brothers and sisters, we continue inshallah, and I believe this is session number 4 in our tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. And today, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, we're going to do or take ayah number 4. So we have finished Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Today we will discuss إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ and إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. You alone we worship, and you alone we seek help and sustenance from. This ayah here, to begin things off, this is the verse that the Salaf rahmatullahi alayhim, they say that this verse is the secret of Surah Fatiha. It's the secret of Surah Fatiha. We'll discuss why they say that this is the secret of Surah Al-Fatiha as we continue with the discussion. Now, before we even begin looking at this verse, we want to have a quick synopsis of all the things that we've been discussing and look at a thematical relationship between each of the ayah and how it's led all the way up to ayah 4. As we mentioned, that the verse starts off, or the surah starts off, by with the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal. This first verse has established who Allah is, and established His presence, and established that He is one and only one. And then the verse continues that He is the Rahman and Rahim, so it begins to tell us about who Allah Azza wa Jal is, gives us a bit of an insight of who He is and some of His names and His attributes. And then the verse continues that some of the power, the authority and abilities of Allah Azza wa Jal, the primary authority that Allah Azza wa Jal has over all of mankind is that of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah Azza wa Jal, Him being the only one that knows what Yawm al-Qiyamah is, that knows when it will happen, and is the Maliki Yawm al-Din, the one who is in charge of the events and all the affairs that will happen on the Day of Judgment. Now, if you notice those first three verses was establishing who Allah Azza wa Jal is. So it was as if Allah was speaking to us in a third person. We're just getting to know who Allah Azza wa Jal is. We're introduced to Him, we're introduced to certain characteristics or attributes about Him. Now verse number 4 takes a different twist or a different theme of Surah Al-Fatiha. Now we're going to speak to Allah Azza wa Jal in the second person, which we will talk about shortly. Also, I want to connect all of these verses together in the sense that to look at how you use all of these verses up to verse number 4 in your daily lives. And we mentioned that the reason why the surah begins with the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it begins on a positive note, and it begins with something that is optimistic, something that is real, something that this is what Allah uses to establish His relationship with all of mankind, is He starts it off with something clear cut and something positive. And that is something that you and I can reuse in our lifestyle, in our relationship, not only with Muslims, but with all of mankind. The first thing that you always want to do is you always want to start off with on a positive note. And this is also one of the ways to keep a strong tie and keep a strong relationship, is to try to focus on all of the positive aspects in your relationship with that individual or that group of people. This is why sometimes whenever I do counseling for some families and they ask me, how do we all get along? I tell them, go and read Surah Fatiha and it'll tell you what to do. And the reason why is just so that they can simply see for themselves that the surah starts off on a positive note. So it's your duty to also try your best to do the same. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In addition to that, the fact that we have a second ayah that says Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, it shows that not only do we establish a good relationship with all of mankind, but Allah tells us how to do it. Be merciful to one another. What does it mean that when you're merciful to somebody? It means that you're willing to overlook all of their faults and mistakes, and you're willing to let bygones be bygones. You're willing to forget their past. You're willing to forget the things that they may have done to you, that have hurt you, that have offended you, and you're willing to give them a second chance. So you are Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim in the sense that you're willing to be merciful, you're willing to be kind and loving, and you're willing to say, look, don't worry about it, just forget it and let's move on. Maliki Yawm al-Din. How do you establish, or how do you use Maliki Yawm al-Din, Master of the Day of Judgment, in your daily lives? It's very simple. The fact that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that He is the Master of the Day of Judgment, it shows His authority over all of our affairs. So that entail, that what's the word I'm looking for? That basically shows you and I that the way we use Maliki Yawm al-Din in our everyday lifestyle is no matter how hard we try to work things out with ourselves and the people around us, Allah is always going to decide at the end that this is what's best for us. No matter how hard you've tried to make that marriage work, you've given it 110% and it seems as though everything that you do is just not working out. That's when you use Maliki Yawm al-Din and you say, you know what? Allah knows best. I've tried everything I can and I can't make this marriage work anymore. So Maliki Yawm al-Din helps you deal with that. It gives you the authority, it gives you that that perspective that Allah Azza wa Jal is in control of it. And at the end of the day, after, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us, after you tie your camel, so basically you put your own effort in, this is where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala decides what is the final result. It's very interesting, because it's a very, very nice, very, very perfect way now to bring us into ayah number 4. Ayah number 4 starts off with إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. We're going to literally look at each word as we continue this discussion. This verse here points out to the importance or the actualization of لا إله إلا الله. This verse here shows us the reality of La ilaha illallah. And of course, there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the verse starts off with Iyyaka na'budu. You alone we worship. That's La ilaha illallah. And two things here have to happen. In this verse, two things. Number one is that we've affirmed that our worship is only for Allah azza wa jal. And simultaneously at the same time, we've negated that our worship is for anything else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone, O Allah, it means we only worship Him, and by default, no one else is going to be deserving of it. So you've done both, La ilaha illallah. This is mentioned actually in a number of different verses in the Qur'an. But I want to move to the second point or the second wisdom behind this verse. If you notice, Allah Azza wa Jal here tells us إِيَّاكَ and uses this word إِيَّاكَ. In Arabic we call إِيَّاكَ, we call it a harful khitab. Harful khitab. It's like a preposition that's used to speak to someone else. But this here is very interesting how it should be used. Scholars, they say, like Imam al-Qurtubi, Imam al-Tabari, in their tafsirs, they mention how to use this word إِيَّاكَ. So if you write in your notes, you write down إِيَّاكَ. إِيَّاكَ must always be used with a description. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. And it's only valid for one description. So you can't say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَاسْتَعِينَ or وَنَسْتَعِينَ. You have to say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, that's it, that's one complete sentence, it's one description, and it's done. It's one fi'l, it's one action that's been associated with إِيَّاكَ, it's done. If you want to continue the sentence, that's why you have another إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, and then وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. And the reason why this is so important is a lot of scholars, they've asked the question, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeat إِيَّاكَ in the same verse? Because if you were to look at the verse, you could understand the implication that if Allah just said إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَنَسْتَعِينَ, it would have been sufficient, like we could have understood it. But Allah says إِيَّاكَ two times. Scholars, they say this of course is to emphasize the importance of these two acts of worship, which we will discuss individually shortly. Another benefit inshallah when we look at this ayah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here it says إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. It is established in the rules of the Arabic language that placing the object in the first sentence is always a way of confining the meaning of the verb to the object alone. So in other words, the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal did not say إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ وَإِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, Allah doesn't say that. Allah speaks about Himself first, and then He speaks about an attribute or something that Allah Azza wa Jal does for mankind, an aspect of Allah Azza wa Jal. Why not twist or flip the ayah the other way around? Well, here the scholars, they say this is all about precedence. This is all about establishing again the authority of Allah Azza wa Jal. You need to worship Allah first before you get His help, or before you get the rizq from Allah. Before Allah can help you, this is the right that Allah has over us. We need to worship Him first. Now this is very, very important, because a lot of people, they ask, how can I get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal? This is a very common question. People just want to know, how do I get closer to Him? What am I doing that's wrong? How do I establish a strong relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal? And they'll say things like, I'm doing everything in my life. I'm doing everything and nothing is working anymore. Well, this here from this ayah, because of the order of the ayah, this shows you and I that a Muslim actually has to fix his lifestyle. He's got to put together his lifestyle in such a manner that caters to the tawfiq or the assistant of Allah Azza wa Jal to help you worship Him. Let me give you an example you all know. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he was a prophet, what was he known for? He was known to be the most trustworthy one. He was known to be somebody that was honorable, somebody that people loved or cared for. He was honest. He was every single quality that you would want in a person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had it all. And this was all pre-nubuwwah. This was all before he became a prophet. And from that you see that if you want Allah Azza wa Jal to help you, then you need to look into your lifestyle and see if you're living at least a decent lifestyle with the creation of Allah. So if you want the pleasure of the Creator, then you perfect your relationship with His creation. And this is a very, very important point for a lot of people that just wake up and say, I'm not a good person, or there's no hope for me because I don't pray. But that's very un-Islamic. Because just because a person doesn't pray, it doesn't mean that there's no hope for them to change. Because they could still be a good person, they could still do a lot of good things in their lives, they're very helpful. As a matter of fact, just today, I went to the cemetery. And when I went to the cemetery, not for a burial, I actually went to the cemetery office. And I met a Muslim brother there. And this Muslim brother doesn't pray. He doesn't do anything, and subhanAllah, even when we were there, he was shaking the hands of everybody, all the women inside the office as well. So it clearly it showed me that he wasn't a very practicing man. But we got into a conversation, and I asked him, so what do you do for a living? And he says that, you know, he works in this office, and in his spare time, he comes to the cemetery. So I asked him, why do you come to the cemetery in your spare time? He comes and he looks at the graves on the floor, and he sees whatever graves need to be cleaned up, whatever you see the grass is growing over the name of the person or something, he comes with his little small hand shovel, scissors, a bucket of soil and all that sort of thing, and he starts to clean around the graves. And he starts to cut it nicely, and he goes, if he sees a family there that are visiting a grave, he goes up to them and he offers his service to them, and he does it all for free. Why? Because this is just his way of showing kindness to others. So he's a good person. But what's he missing? He's missing the ibadah. He's missing his relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. However, part of establishing that is to live a good lifestyle. The fact that this person is already a good person, it automatically entails that he's willing to listen. It automatically entails that you can give him some advice. And actually, when we got into a discussion, he asked me some of the work that I did, and when I told him, he was very, very interested. He took my card and he wanted to see, like, okay, you know what, maybe I'll drop by and check you out one day. So that was very good to kind of see that that excitement in him. So this is extremely important. And another evidence that we see is in Surah Al-Muhammad. Allah Azza wa Jal talks about the people who, when it was legislated for them to go for jihad, and they refused to, Allah Azza wa Jal says that this is a corruption for the earth. And in it, Allah adds at the end of the ayah, وَتَقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ. And in it, you've also broke off ties of kinship with your family and with your relatives. Look how the next ayah continues. Allah Azza wa Jal says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah curses them. And then the ayah continues. Allah curses them. Allah stamps their eyes and Allah stamps their ears. In other words, they go into the state of heedlessness. Now this is very interesting, because if you relate now what Allah is saying in the second ayah to the first one, Allah ends it off by saying, and the people who cut off kinship, for them is the curse of Allah a stamp. This is a spiritual stamp in the sense that there's no guidance for them on their eyes and on their ears. Scholars, they say, this is the verse that proves if a person doesn't have good relationship with their family, they are impossible to advise. If a person cannot keep ties of kinship with the people who are closest to them, then it's very unlikely that they will listen to anybody outside of their family. And you just decide for yourself. You see for yourself. If you go to a person and say, you know, you haven't spoken to your brother for like 10 years, what's wrong with you? You know, the first thing is like, no, I don't want to talk to him. You know, I hate him. He took like $80,000 from me. He never paid me back my debt. Like, they'll start to come up with all of these reasons that they shouldn't connect back with them. So Allahu al-Musta'an. Anyhow, so here Allah Azza wa Jal, as we mentioned here, that the fact that in the beginning of the sentence, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions Iyaka. Iyaka is the object, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal. Iyaka na'bud. So this is the action, this is the verb. Na'bud is the verb. So the fact that Allah mentions the object first, which is Him, and then He mentions the verb after, this again shows the importance of, or the authority of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it also shows that this object is restricted to this verb. It cannot be added on to any of the other verbs that come into the same sentence. I hope this is clear. Because this ayah here, when I say to you that the Salaf, they said that this is the secret of Surah Al-Fatiha, this is why they say it. This one verse alone negates shirk entirely. In every single level, from minor shirk to major shirk. This one verse alone negates it all. And this one verse as well affirms that there will never be a God or a creator except Allah Azza wa Jal. And even linguistically, even looking at the verse and how it's constructed alone indicates that Allah establishes Himself, Iyaka, and then tells you the fi'l or the verb, na'bud. What should you do with Iyaka, with Allah Azza wa Jal? Worship Him.